Open your Bibles this morning with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. As I thought about Thanksgiving Day coming in just a few days, I was excited that in our time working through the book of Philippians, the Lord brought us to this verse for the Sunday before Thanksgiving. We're ready for Philippians 4 and verse number 4 today. Look down with me at Philippians 4:4. Just one verse to look at this morning. It says simply, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." Why don't you read that verse with me? I'll say the reference, you jump in and say the verse, and then we'll all say the reference at the end. Ready? Philippians 4:4. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." Philippians 4:4. Father, I pray that this morning Your power would be evident in our service. Lord, we don't want to just meet together and say that we've done our duty. Lord, we would like You, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, to move in our midst, to meet among us. Lord, You promised that You're here, and we claim that promise. You said if two or three are gathered in Your name, that You're there in the midst. So we claim that promise. We know it's true. I guess, Lord, what I'm asking for this morning is that You would manifest Your presence to us, that You would show us Your power by working in our hearts through the Word of God. Teach us something, Lord. Change us. Mold us to be more like Your Son. Allow us to further understand the concept of Christ living out His life through us. And Father, my heart's prayer this morning is that if there are some who have come who are not certain that they're on their way to heaven, not sure they've received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord, would You allow them to understand it today, and then come to that point in their life where they would receive You as Savior even this morning. Father, do a work in our midst, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't you love Philippians 4:4? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. First of all, I see that word, rejoice. The fact, rejoice. You know, the fact is the Christian life is a joyful life. It's a fact. Sometimes you don't get that opinion when you look at other Christians. Shame on us. Shame on us. Some Christians are kind of melancholy. You know, they look like they got saved, and then after they got saved, they got baptized in pickle juice or something. You know, they just look a little bit melancholy there, like a giraffe with a sore neck. You know, there's hardly anything worse than that. And sometimes you look at that Christian, it seems like, I don't know that we have one of those in Bethel Baptist Church. But I remember growing up, we had one in my home church. And I'm not going to call his name because we're recording the sermon. But he was saved and he did love the Lord, but you wouldn't know it by his face. Man, you'd walk in, you know, and, you know, we were kids, we'd come into church and he'd be, "Hey, you kids, slow down over there," you know, and all that kind of stuff and just kind of on the grumpy side all the time. But, you know, we don't have to be that way. And Philippians 4 says, we're not supposed to be that way. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Some are melancholy. Some are defensive. You know, hey, how are you doing? What do you mean by that? do I look like I'm not doing well, or what's wrong? You know, and they're a little bit defensive sometimes and things like that. You know, if we're not rejoicing, something's not right. Psalm 85:6 says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And if I'm not rejoicing, Psalm 85:6 tells me I need revival. It's one or the other. It's either revival or rejoicing, okay? If we're not rejoicing, we need revival. Because when God revives His people, one of the reasons is so that they will rejoice in Him. Now that verse also tells me that it's possible for someone to be saved, someone to be a Christian, but to have lost their joy. That's why this verse in Philippians comes as a command. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The fact is, the Christian life is a joyful life, but often the pressures of life bring a separation between fact and function. Okay, we know it's a fact. We know that we know the Lord Jesus is our Savior. But sometimes that joy is gone. So we need this command. We need Philippians 4:4. We need the command where God says to us through this verse, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. The form of the word rejoice. Did you ever think about that? Rejoice. Have joy again. The word rejoice can mean to joy again. To joy again. This verb is in the imperative sense. That means it's a command. It's God telling us rejoice. That shows us that there are going to be times when we're tempted not to rejoice. Or else God would not have put it in the form of a command. We're commanded to joy again. Joy again. Do you remember the joy you had when you first got saved? See, joy begins for a person on the day that they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And there's a peace that comes in their heart, but there's also a joy. You know what it is that comes into their life? It's God's Holy Spirit. Not an it, a him. Okay, God's Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of you when you get saved. And Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And what's the next one? Joy. He gives you that joy. And I'll tell you, when a person gets saved, it's rare that you don't see the joy on their face. Now, it's in their heart, but a lot of times it's right on their face, and they're excited about the things of God, and they're excited to know they're on their way to heaven and to have the Bible and understand that, wow, God talked to me in this book. Wow, this is great. I've got the Bible. And they're coming to church, and they want to be there Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and they have the joy of the Lord. If we're not careful, we can lose that joy. And so we have to rejoice. We have to come back in our thinking to how wonderful it was and how wonderful it is that Jesus saved us. Think about how wonderful your salvation is. Because no matter how bad your problems are, no matter how deep the trial that you're going through, if you know that you're going to end up with Christ in heaven and you're positive of it, there's cause to rejoice. And the trials and the problems don't have to get you down. But you've got to know for sure about heaven. You say, well, preacher, I don't know that you can know for that for sure. The Bible says these things are written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God gave us the Bible so you could know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Not wonder about it. Not hope so. Not think, well, maybe if I'm good enough, I'll make it. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Romans 4:5 says, to him that worketh not, but believeth on Him. Ah, there it is. We don't get to heaven by our own good works, by being a good person, by treating people nicely, by getting baptized, confirmed, catechized, or whatever you were. All those things, some of them may be good things, but those good things can't get us to heaven. If we could get to heaven by being good, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. But He died on the cross because all of us are sinners. And if we got what we deserved, we'd all miss heaven and end up in the place that the Bible calls hell. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I wouldn't get that eternal life if I got my wages that I deserve, because I'm a sinner, just like all of us. Ah, but Jesus died on that cross to pay for my sins, so I wouldn't have to pay for them in hell. Jesus died for everyone, but not everyone is willing to receive Him as a gift. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now, have you received Jesus as that gift? Or did you think that going to heaven would involve something on your own, of you being good enough or deserving it, or treating people right, the golden rule? Or have you come to understand that salvation, being saved from our sin, is not at all something we do on our own? We come to Christ and say, Jesus, I can't save myself. You save me. The Bible puts it this way, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I think just about everybody calls on the Lord sometime in their life, but that's not what it's talking about. It's not just saying, Lord, help my grandma feel better, or give me a safe airplane flight, or something like that. No, I call it praying the big prayer. Because just a few verses before it says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just a few verses before that, the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Think about that a minute. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. That means say with your mouth, Jesus, you really are the one who died for me. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve heaven. But you died for me. But folks, it's not just some magic words, because the rest of that verse says, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You say those words with your mouth, but what saves you is believing in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead to conquer your sins and be your Savior. Now, when I was a kid, somebody showed me some of those verses I just told you about. And I thought I was pretty good and I was going to get to heaven by trying to be a good little kid. And when they showed me that in the Bible, I said, oh man, I'm in trouble. I'm not on my way to heaven because I'm a sinner. No matter how good I am, if I died right now, I'd end up in hell instead of heaven. I need Jesus. And I was just a kid, but I don't remember the exact words I said. But it was something like this. I said, Lord, I'm a sinner, but Jesus, you died for me. And right now, I want you to save me. I did what the Bible said. I called on the name of the Lord. And he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I'm looking out here, and I'm looking out at some people who, right on your doorstep, somebody showed this to you from the Bible, and you received Jesus as your Savior. I'm looking at others who have told me about a time in your life when you trusted Christ as your Savior. But it may be that you've been in Bethel Baptist Church for months. It may be that maybe it's your first time here. But if you were honest, you'd have to say, I'm not sure I received Jesus as my Savior, but I'd sure like to. You know, you can do that today. At the end of our service, we'll have a time we call an invitation where people can respond to what God's doing in our lives through the Bible. And a lot of times people will come toward the front. If you need to receive Christ as your Savior, we'll have our heads bowed and eyes closed. It won't be embarrassing in any way. But I'll have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're saved. And you'll see it right from the Bible. And if it makes sense to you, you could decide to receive Christ as your Savior today, and you could be on your way to heaven. Wouldn't that be a great thing? And you would have the joy of the Lord in your life because you know your sins are taken care of and your eternal destiny is settled. And you're positive about it because it's what God said in the Bible, not based on our own deeds. Does that make sense? Okay, we'll do that at the end, and I'll give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. Now, what about those of us who've done that? We need this command. We need to joy again. We need to rejoice in the Lord. You know, joy is not just a personality trait. Somebody says, well, you know, that person, they're a sanguine, so they can rejoice and they're just always happy all the time. Listen, joy is not a personality trait. You're confusing it maybe with something we think of as happiness. Joy is not really the same thing as happiness. Happiness is circumstance-based. Okay, we're happy or not happy based on the things going on in our lives. Okay, if we endure temptation, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. We're pretty happy right then. Okay, if we give in and we yield, we're not very happy when we give in to temptation and sin. Happiness is circumstance-based. But joy is the delight that is produced by God's Spirit inside of a Christian. And even in times of trial, even in times of temptation, the joy never leaves. It's still there. It's independent of circumstances. Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is joy. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says they receive the word in much affliction and with joy of the Holy Ghost. See, joy comes from God's Holy Spirit. Romans 14:15 says the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. When you have God's Holy Spirit indwelling you because you've received Him as Savior, then you can have that joy. If you don't let the Holy Spirit take control, you can lose that joy. It's still there on the inside, but it's not showing on the outside. So, what about that inward delight? First of all, I think we should delight in God's creation. The choir sang, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. I love to take delight and joy in God's creation. Don't you love looking out at that sunset or the incredible cloud formations? Sometimes I'll look up there and I'll say, my dad made that. My Abba, my Father, God. He's the one that made all that. And we can delight in God's creation. How many of you like animals? I like animals, but just not in my house, okay? But I like animals, and I'll tell you some of the amazing things that God has created. And the way some of those animals look and act and behave is just amazing. And you look at that and you think, wow, God, you are great. And you delight in God through His creation. We delight in God for His control. We delight in God's control. 1 Corinthians 16:31 says, let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Did you know that the Lord reigns? He's in control. And that's something that can give us joy. We might look at things in the economy right now and think, oh boy, the economy's rough. I don't know what's going to happen. But you know what? God's still in control. The Lord reigneth. And that gives me joy. Because even if I face some poverty here in this life, I'm going to have eternal treasures in heaven. And I know how it's going to turn out. And 60, 70, 80, sometimes in Florida, 90 years here on this earth is going to be like a drop in the bucket for all of eternity. And we can endure anything for a short time, can't we? But we've got that blessed hope, that eternal hope, and we can rejoice in God's control. The Lord reigneth. I love Daniel 4:35. The Bible says, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Nobody can stop God's hand. Say, God, what are you doing? No, God's in control. And we rejoice in God's control. We delight also in God's care. In God's care. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You know what? This Thanksgiving season, let's rejoice in God's care. He giveth us all things richly to enjoy. A lot of us have some pretty nice homes, don't we? And some of you have told me the situation or the circumstances through which the Lord provided you a really nice home. You know what? If God gave it to you, don't feel guilty about that. God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now don't get selfish with it. Don't get attached to it. Be willing to sacrifice it if God tells you to. But in the meantime, God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Okay, if you've got a vehicle that can get you around, rejoice in it. Rejoice in it. If you're going to have a nice Thanksgiving meal this week, rejoice in God's provision. Because the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:17, He giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Let's delight in God's care. Aren't you glad God takes care of you? And here we have our folks from Istanbul here today. And even over there in Turkey, they can just pick up and move to Turkey and they know God's going to take care of them. God's going to take care of them. We rejoice in God's care. We also delight in God's communication. God's communication. Psalm 119 verse 16 says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Do you delight in God's statutes? Do you rejoice in this book? We ought to rejoice in God's communication. Think about it. God has told us everything He needs us to know right here in this book. Now, I know it's a little bit of a long book, but it's not so long that you can't read through it. I know people that read through it in a couple months. You can read through it in a year if you just set aside time to read 3 or 4 chapters a day. Chapters are about a page long. You can read God's Word. But you know what? We delight in God's Word. Aren't you glad that He's told us the things that He's told us in this book? We can face our life with the promises of God. We sing, standing on the promises of Christ my King. Where do those promises come to us? From the Bible. And we can rest assured in them. We ought to rejoice in God's communication, not only through the Bible, but the fact that we can communicate with Him in prayer. Isn't that a great thing? You have the ear of the God of the universe because He told you He would listen. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3. We can talk to God who made everything. You think, well, why would he care about little old me? I'm just a little speck in the state of Florida, which is just one little state in the United States, which is just one country on this earth, which is one little planet in our solar system, which is one little system in our galaxy, which is one little spot in the universe. And yet God wants to hear from me. He told me to pray and talk to Him. We ought to rejoice in God's communication, that He's talked to us in His Word, and we can talk to Him in prayer. Then we ought to rejoice in God's character, in God's character. Jeremiah 9, verse 23 says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Hey, you know where our glory is? You know where our rejoicing is? In knowing God's character, knowing who He is. And that leads me to the next part of Philippians 4:4. The first word there, look down, is rejoice. But what are the next three words? Say them out loud for me. Rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord. Listen, sometimes we mistake this command. We think that it says rejoice in the circumstances. And no matter what happens in your life, you better be happy about it. You better rejoice. You better put a smile on your face. You better be rejoice. But no matter what happens, because you got to rejoice in those circumstances. Wait a minute. You're missing something there. Yes, we can still have the smile. We can still have the joy in the circumstances. But you don't rejoice in the circumstances. You rejoice in the Lord. You rejoice in the Lord as you go through the circumstances. In the midst of the trials, you rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes we go wrong because we find our joy in other things. Maybe you find your joy in a certain human relationship. And you think, well, I just don't know if I could handle it if my husband died or if my wife died. Hey, listen, it's going to be a sad thing. Okay? If they're saved, they're going to heaven. That's joy. But you're going to miss them. And you ought to miss them. And there is some grieving that takes place when somebody dies. But you know, our main source of joy ought not be in that person that we love so much. It ought to be in our God who we love supremely. He's the one in which we rejoice. And unless the Lord comes again in the rapture, or unless you both die simultaneously in a terrible tragedy, probably one of you is going to die first, right? So, the joy is not in the person only. It's in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And the truth is, the more we know our God, the more we will take joy in Him. The better we get to know Him. That's why Jeremiah 9 says, take joy in that you understand and know me. How well do you know your God? We have a great God. He's almighty. He's alive. He's Alpha, the very first, the beginning. He is the benevolent one, the branch. He's condescending, compassionate, consistent, courageous, creator, changeless. He never changes. He's my cleanser. He cleanses me from sin. He's dependable. He's the door. We can enter in and be saved. He's our daysman in Job 9:23. He's everlasting. He's eternal. He's the end of all things. God is faithful. He's our forgiver, our fortress, our Father. Aren't you glad He's our friend? And He's the author and finisher of our faith. Our God is great, gracious, guide. He's good, He's gentle, He's giving, He's glorious. He's holy, He's honest, He's our help. The Bible says in Isaiah 54:5, He's my husband. He's my hope. He's immutable, impeccable. I am the infinite one, the just one, the judge, Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh, my joy. He is jealous. He's kind. He's my keeper. He's my king. God is my love, my life, and my light. He is mighty, marvelous. He's my maker. He is majesty. Aren't you glad that God is near? God is near. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. Many of you know what those mean. He is powerful, patient, peace, provider, protector, and present. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, He's my quietness. He's my quietness. He is righteous. He's resurrection. He's the rock, the reconciler, my righteous one, my refuge, my redeemer, and my sure reward. God is sovereign. He's Savior. He's salvation. How well do you know Him today? He's my strength, my safety, my shepherd, my servant. He's my truth. He is trustworthy. He's the high tower that we run to in time of trouble. He's my trust. He's unchanging, unfailing, understanding, valiant, the vine, and my victory. God is extraordinary. He's my exceeding joy. And I just made this one up. He's my X factor. He's my X factor. You know, in Acts, they had this altar to the unknown God. They didn't know who He was. He was like the X factor. And you know, a lot of times in sports, they'll say, well, this team might win or this team might win. But, you know, this team ended up winning because there was that unknown, that X factor. Well, that's what God is. We're on the winning side, and people won't understand how it's going to come out, but he's the unknown factor there that's going to jump right in and rescue us. He's Yahweh. In God, all things are yea. He is zealous. He's the first and the last. How well do you know your God? Because we got to rejoice in the Lord. And just thinking about Him will help you to rejoice. When we just thought about all those qualities of our great God, doesn't it make you rejoice in Him? To think that this great God, I can call Him my God because He has made it so He can belong to me and I belong to Him. Look down at our verse again. Rejoice in the Lord alway. Alway. You say, Pastor, that just seems too hard. That seems to be an impossible command. That word alway means in every situation. That word alway means with every person. You know, aren't there some people that are just hard to get along with? Just live with some of them. No, but you know, some people, they're just hard to get along with. But you know what? The Bible says rejoice in the Lord alway. Alway. I think I'm hard to get along with. I'm amazed that my wife can put up with me. Okay, I'm pretty picky about things, you know. But the Bible says that we can rejoice in every situation with every person. How can we do that? Folks, when the Lord commands, He enables. And if He says rejoice in the Lord alway, then He's going to enable me to do it if I'll depend upon Him for the strength. There's never a situation through which we cannot rejoice. This word alway shows that we ought to have the continual, habitual practice of rejoicing. Not just at church where we walk into the building, we put on our church face and, hi brother, hi sister, you know, and we're rejoicing when we're here. No, at work, you can rejoice. Young person on the sports field or on the court, you can rejoice. Mom, when you're home caring for the preschoolers and sometimes tempted to pull out your hair, you can rejoice. You can rejoice. When you've worked hard all day and your husband comes home and instead of appreciating the laundry that's done, he says, where's supper? Okay, you can rejoice. You can rejoice. The continual, habitual practice of rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord alway. And then finally the verse says, and again I say, rejoice. Here I see not only the fact, we've got to rejoice, not only the foundation, we rejoice in the Lord. Not only the frequency, alway, but I see the fervor of it. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. He's fervent about this. He says, look, we mean business here. This is so important. And God, in His inspired word, communicates it and says it again. Again I say rejoice. That shows me how important it is. Now, all of God's Word is important. All of the commands are important. But if God's going to say it again, I better make sure I get that one down, don't you think? I better make sure I listen. I better make sure I rejoice in the Lord. Alway. And again, I say rejoice. The repetition shows intensity. Joy is very important. You know, it's important to your physical health. It's been proven that someone who has joy on the inside is going to be more healthy than they would have been without it. Now, you still face some physical trials and things like that, but you'll be more healthy than you would have been without it. You know, the joy relieves the stress and the anxiety that causes so many other physical problems. Joy is very important also to our spiritual effectiveness. You know, I am serving the Lord today by His grace, but humanly speaking, I'm serving the Lord today because when I was growing up, I saw some Christians who were serving God and loving it, and loving it. And I'm afraid today that in many of our churches, people grow up and they look and they see people who are serving God, but they're not enjoying it. They don't have the joy of the Lord. And maybe they go home and their mom or dad says, "Yeah, man, I can't believe that. That church, I'll tell you what." And they grumble about things that happened at church. And those kids grow up thinking, you know, serving the Lord must not be very enjoyable. Folks, they're getting the wrong idea. If you're a young person, you've got the wrong idea. Let me tell you, that is the wrong idea, and I'm sorry somebody gave you that idea. Don't let that ruin you. But then on the other side, what idea are we giving? What opinion of God are we giving? The Bible says that we ought to glorify God. Glorify Him means to give the right opinion of Him, to let others know how great He is, and that the Christian life is a joyful life. Oh yeah, you might have some days where you struggle, but in general, you have a habitual, continual rejoicing in the Lord. Does that characterize your life? Again, let me point out that it's not only a fact, but it is a command. And God knows that sometimes it's just going to be a matter of obeying God's command. I don't feel like rejoicing, but I'm going to obey and rejoice. God never commands our feelings. He commands our will, our obedience. And the truth is that when we do rejoice, a lot of times our feelings start to follow, don't they? And we start feeling happy as well as having the joy. But we've got to obey. We've got to say, "God, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. No matter what happens this week, no matter my circumstances, the family decides not to show up for Thanksgiving, or I dry out the turkey, or something else disastrous happens, okay? Maybe something real serious. Maybe relatives travel and have a car accident. Listen, you might not have happiness at that moment, but you can have the joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." You know how you can keep going through this wicked world? How you can keep going through the trials of life? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to work that joy in your life. Practically speaking, I heard this acronym years ago and I like it. Joy, Jesus, others, and then yourself. You put the things of God first, you put others next, you put yourself last, you'll have joy. Want to know how to have a good Thanksgiving holiday? "Well, I got to make sure I get my turkey and my cranberry sauce." No. Put others first. Put Jesus first on Thanksgiving. Have a time to praise Him for who He is. Then put others before yourself. Put yourself last and you'll have the joy of the Lord. God will do a mighty work in your heart. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes.